¿Ya estás grabando?
Café con leche y piquete.
Hola, hola, banda. Bienvenidos a Café con leche y piquete. Un momento de siempre, volviendo a cantar la misma canción. Estamos aquí con ustedes, el Chiqui Baby. What's up, dog?
What's up?
A ver, el Chubby. ¿Qué pasó con él? ¿Cómo estás? Y tenemos un nuevo guest, our dear friend Dave, coming over to us from, where are you from, brother?
LA, San Gabriel.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah. And David is actually coming over to us representing his band, Unsanctioned.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that, brother.
You sound how excited I am right now.
So how about that, brother, Unsanctioned? How long has it been going together?
We, as a group, we've been together for about 5 years.
Fucking A, dude.
The guitarist of Unsanctioned, he's actually my cousin. And we've been playing together for longer than 5 years. We've been in a band for 5 years, but he and I have always been jamming out. And originally the band started off as a cover band. We were going to just be one of those dive bar bands where we just play a bunch of Black Sabbath and
badass, like AC/DC
and stuff.
Those are my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Don't cry, brother. Hold on a second. Here's again. Don't mean.
But then, like, you know, what happens when you get a bunch of musical people together is, like, they start to want to show you what they've been writing in the meantime. And it went from, hey, well, let's learn a couple Metallica songs to, like, oh, well, you know, I got some drum beats for that riff you showed me last week. Let's try to work on that. And then, you know, 4 months later, all of a sudden, we're like not covering any songs whatsoever. And now we got like 8 original songs.
Hell yeah, bro.
And, you know, we're looking at each other like, I thought we were going to be a cover band. Like, what happened? You know? And it went from there, you know? And we've been playing for a while. I've been playing since I was 15 years old. I'm going about like 35, 37 years of playing music.
Hell yeah, bro. I mean, talk about doing what you love, you know?
Yeah, dude. You know,
that's badass. And,
it's been great. It's been an incredible journey. It's been a weird journey. I've played with bands, you know, that I didn't think I would play with. You know, I was in bands that have opened up for like Korn and Alien Ant Farm.
Oh,
you know,
geez, bro.
I don't know if you guys know this artist named Swayze.
Yeah.
Yeah, we opened up for him at a festival.
Nice.
Not Patrick Swayze.
No, not Patrick Swayze. No, there was no clay bass anywhere, you know.
He's like, I got you, boo.
Yeah, right. Comes up behind you as you're playing, you know.
Is that you, Mark?
But yeah, man, you know, in some of the bands I've been in, you know, we've won some awards, like local awards and stuff, but nothing big. It wasn't until this band. So, like, a little history with this band. It used to be called Wolf Rage. And
oh shit,
we were more like alternative, kind of punkish, and kind of think of like Rage Against the Machine, but if they were trying to be metal, like real metal, not like hip hop rock that they do, you know,
bro.
And
3 a.m. That's you guys,
kinda, you know, and we were doing that,
yeah,
and we ended up playing this Halloween show. And all the bands were supposed to dress up. And only like us and another band dressed up.
Oh, shit.
And we went as, the team from Dodgeball.
Shit, Underdog.
Yeah,
the Underdog.
Like, we bought the costume and like we all showed up, you know. And
Average Joe.
Average Joe's. There you go.
Yeah, Underdog was a gym, no, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went as Average Joe's.
That's sick, man.
And we didn't know that the guy hosting the show.
Yeah.
He had some type of affiliation with Sony. So we go up, you know, and we just bang out our set.
Yeah.
And this was right when we were like barely starting. Okay. So like we were hungry for everything, right?
Fuck it.
So we just sweated the stage out. And then we start talking to the dude and he really likes us. He likes the way we've been doing things on stage. And we get contact info from him and he's like, hey, you know, come to my studio.
Yeah.
We're thinking it's, you know, like some guy who just has a studio, you know, and he gives us the address and it's like somewhere up in the hills. Like,
oh, okay.
So now we're kind of like, yeah, we're like, this is kind of sketchy. Like it's either the good hills or it's, you know, it's the hills with no streetlights, you know?
Yeah. He's like, we're not going to come out of this.
Yeah, we're not coming back.
You know? Wait a minute.
But we get there and like, we walk in and the first thing we see are like all these like records, you know, gold records on the walls. And we're like, what the hell is this?
Oh, shit, dude.
And then we start talking. The more we talk to him, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is a record label. It's an indie label. We're affiliated with Sony. And next thing you know, we're signing a contract for a year, you know, and we did that and we ended up using his studio and all that music that we recorded with him got sent up to the Sony cloud, essentially.
Oh, shit.
And it was pretty much like if Sony likes what they hear, they can use our song for any type of marketing product they want.
Yeah.
And then we get the royalties off of that.
Badass.
And it doesn't even have to be the whole song. It could literally be like a 10-second clip.
Sing license.
And yeah, you know, and like just boom. You know, we get royalties and we get credit for that. You know, we got signed into ASCAP, which is the musician guild.
Yeah.
For
PRO. It's a performance rights organization. Yeah.
So like we have all that down, you know. But then you know, life happens, dude. Life happens, you know. Our one of the members started a family.
Big mistake. No, I'm fine.
Well, I mean,
just kidding, buddy.
It wasn't a decision he had made. It was kind of like
it happened.
It happened.
It was like one of those, like, hey guys, I got something to tell you, you know. So you know, and then kind of, you know, like my cousin and I, Alex, we're pretty much set in like this is what we're gonna do. You know, we are going to concentrate on making music, regardless of whether we're going to get famous off of it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we just want to create something. And he and I were still very set on, okay, even if it's just the two of us, we're going to go into the studio. We're going to record. I ended up learning how to play bass in a year.
Oh, shit, dude.
Because it got to the point where I was looking at Alex and I'm like, hey, man, like, we need a bass player. But nobody, we haven't found anyone. So, you know, I learned how to play bass in Wolf Rage for a year because we didn't have anybody. Yeah. And then I told him, okay, write the beginning of the songs. I'll put in the drum tracks and then I'll put in the bass lines. And then whoever we can find to sing, I'll even write the lyrics. Like the song Sober, I wrote the lyrics to that.
Holy shit,
and I wrote the bass line to that. You know, but then we found a bass player and his name is Josh. And that guy's amazing. Like, that's who you're hearing on these tracks, you know. And that guy is one of those, he's another one where it's one of those like, oh, give me 10 minutes till he hears the song. And 10 minutes later, he's got the song down.
Oh, shit.
You know, and
he's got an ear for it for sure.
Yeah, you know, and we've been lucky enough to find people that have an ear for music. But not just have the ear, but have the passion for it.
Right.
You know, because it takes a lot out of you, especially if you're honest with yourself.
Right.
You know, because like, you know, I'm almost 40. I'm not going on a weird world tour anytime soon.
He's making it sound like it's a bad thing, bro. It ain't bad. I'm telling you right now.
But like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm 40 years old. When I was in high school, I was going to be the next Metallica. You know, that was my mindset.
That's never too late, brother.
I was going to be on world tours, all this stuff, right?
Hey.
And it's never too late, but...
Sam Jackson, brother.
Yeah, but priorities change.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, now it's more like, let's record as much as we can because that's what we can do. You know, we got to take the opportunities we have and create new ones.
Yeah.
But if we aren't realistic about it, then we're just lying to ourselves, you know? You know, my cousin and I, Alex, we will sit down and talk as we're writing or as we're playing. And, you know, we both are on the same page. And it's, we're not going to make $1 billion playing music, but we're going to make music. And that's what counts for us. Because that to us actually is worth more. Because I like the fact that when I'm gone from this earth, I have something that I left behind, you know, physically.
Exactly.
My kids can point to my records and tell everyone my dad did that, you know, and that to me has always been the greatest appeal, not just producing music, but to have my kids be able to say my dad did something different, you know, but he also worked a 9-to-5,
Not only that, man, you're stepping out of your reality, dude. You're reaching for something that most people won't even dare to try.
Yeah, you know? And I've been fortunate enough to have experiences like, you know, opening up for Korn. You know, I played on the same stage that a lot of famous people have played on, you know, in 2 weeks we're playing at the Whiskey.
Oh, bro.
You know, and it's one thing to play, but it's another thing to see your name up on the marquee.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're an unknown band, just to see your name up on the marquee is like the greatest feeling in the world, you know? And I've played the Whiskey about 5 times already.
So tell us about the Whiskey Fest. Actually, it's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks. It's on the, I think it's Wednesday.
All right.
The 20-something. the 21st, I believe. Okay. Or something like that. Yeah.
We'll look it up.
It's in 2 weeks. I think I said next week, huh? but we're playing there.
Yeah, Whiskey Fest this month on 21st.
Yeah.
It'll be on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Perfect time, perfect day of the week to get fucked up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right in the middle.
Yes, sir. Happy hump day.
Yeah, right. And it's I love playing there mainly because it's the Whiskey, first of all.
Yeah.
But also, you know, people just randomly show up, you know, and you'll encounter people that are like, hey, I've never heard of you, but you guys are amazing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we've been told that before, you know?
You guys are, though. I mean, serious. You guys got some serious tracks out here.
Well, yeah, you know, but like to us, we just like the music. So, you know, we're our hardest critics.
Yeah.
You know, my cousin Alex, he's written all this amazing music with me, but he'll be the first one to be like, oh, dude, there's like 10 people that are better than me, you know? And I think that's something that I love about him because it keeps him grounded, you know? And I've met, stay humble. Yeah, right. Because I've met a lot of musicians where like, you know, I'm the greatest thing ever, you know? And then you hear him and you're like, no, you're not. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're okay.
At the moment you actually take that, like, start believing your own hype, bro. That's kind of where you stop trying, you know?
Yeah, you know, you stop trying to be better, you know?
So that's good, he thinks like that.
Yeah, you know, and he and I both have that mentality of, like, there's always going to be somebody better.
Yeah.
So we have to continuously work on our craft.
I think that's the thing, too, that you can also see it as a different perspective, like, knowing, because I'm a producer, right? And I'm always hard on myself, too, saying, like, I know it's, even though I leveled up on the stage of, you know, expertise.
Yeah.
I know I listen to some other album and I'm just like, oh yeah, never mind. Reality check, you know, I'm not that great. Although it does humble you, I think that another perspective could be as, you know what, somebody always better than me, but I'm going to work even harder to get to that level.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, once I'm hitting that level, the same as that artist that did that album,
yeah,
I'm listening to another album. Like, oh hell no! You know what? I have to go up to another step.
Yeah,
and that's what makes you the greatest at the end. And you can let the people label you that.
Yeah,
instead of actually, like you said, like having those other band members that would say, "Oh, I'm the greatest."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and
yeah, but I think in that business, you're always gonna have somebody trying to discourage you and shit.
Oh yeah, you know,
any business, bro.
Yeah,
any business,
haters, you know, any business. But yeah,
like, when you make it, they still think you're still gonna
when you're not making it, bro.
Yeah. No, even when you make it, they're still gonna doubt you.
Was that what they say? There's a saying. This is people that hate on you. They don't want what you have. They just don't want you to have it.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's exactly. Fucked up
because they don't want to see you happy. Yeah. You know, and realistically, of course, we would love to be on a tour, not have to worry about, you know, having a 9-to-5. But at the same time, the 9-to-5 is the reason why we're able to do what we can.
Yeah.
You know, because we prioritize, hey, you know, we still have, you know, bills to pay, but this is our priority as well.
Yeah.
And finding people that have the same mindset, you know. And yeah, there are times where we're like, dude, I just want this to blow up, you know? But that's what keeps you hungry.
Yeah.
You know, that's what keeps you going. It's like, you don't know that one crappy show you're going to play. There's going to be that one person who's got some type of connection or has got some kind of access for you and they love you.
Yeah.
You know, and like earlier, you know, it's if you think you're, you know, hot shit and you treat them disrespectfully, you know, you've missed out on the chance.
Yeah.
You know, which is the thing for us is, every time we play a show, we always make sure that we are respectful for everybody, you know, not just the people working the shows, but the other band members, you know, because we don't know where they're at. You know, this could be the first time they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, this can be the third time they're playing to an empty spot, you know, and we've all been there as musician wise. We've all played to like an empty soundstage. You know, I've played shows where it was literally the sound guy and the bartender, you know, and that was it, you know, and that's the worst noise ever when you stop a song and it's just quiet.
I wish I was that sound guy.
You know, it's very disconcerting, but like stuff like that can knock you down, you know, and you gotta, sometimes you gotta force yourself to get back up.
It's a little discouraging, brother, but I think you got a good base right there as far as like your cousin, like being there to support you and shit. But I know a little bit more about like your support system.
Yeah.
But talk to us a little bit about that, man. Cause I think it's very important for us to, you know, give a little props to the people that are backing us up. That's got our back no matter what. And always pushing us to be better. And always, you know, showing up to the shows and,
my wife, Karina, we've been together, you know, more than 15 years. We've been together since pretty much high school.
Wow, brother.
You know? Yeah, dude. And when she and I like moved in together and everything, I was still doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But back then it was more, I want to say chaotic, because I didn't have stability. You know, I was a young kid who was like, I'll take any job as long as I can play
my
music, you know? So she put up with a lot. You know, she put up with a lot of late nights of me being in the studio, a lot of noise, because for a while, my rehearsal area for the band was our garage.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like every day there's four guys and they're just making noise, you know, and especially in the beginning, that's all it is. It's noise because we haven't found
our sound.
We haven't found a rhythm, a structure. So to the outside person, it literally sounds like we're just wailing away on our instrument.
Yeah.
You know, and she's put up with that, you know, and she's been very supportive throughout the whole thing, you know.
That's amazing, man.
She's the one person that is still like, oh no, you're going to get famous. You know, you're still going to get famous. You just got to be patient, you know. To this day, she'll still be like, can you get famous already so you can buy me a house? You know, so it's like that little stuff keeps me motivated, even though you know, it's like realistically, we know that especially now in this day and age with the way social media is, you know, it's like it's harder for up and coming artists to get that like lucky streak like it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, because you see on TikTok is like the biggest thing where it's like all these people are getting discovered off of one thing.
Oh, fuck that.
But then, like, they built that, you know, but then, like, you know, a couple months later, everybody forgets about it.
Yeah.
So it's like the saturation is high and it's a lot harder for bands like mine where it's like we're concentrating on this genre of music. Yeah. We're concentrating on this format, you know. We're not looking for a gimmick. We're not looking for our 15 minutes of, oh, we're going to cover this song and make it funny.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to last for 3 months and then nobody's going to remember who we are.
Like a one hit wonder.
Yeah. You know, not even a one hit wonder, because that doesn't even mean the same thing anymore. You know, one hit wonder was a band that could like go years playing that song.
Yeah.
And everybody would still show up.
That's shit though, because TikTok's full of one hit wonders too, dude.
Yeah. But those one hit wonders last a couple of weeks, depending, you know, and then the next one rolls around.
Ice, baby.
Well, like, that's a perfect example. Saying. Yeah.
That's like that one of the best one hit wonders.
Still
comes up.
People still sing
still
along.
Making money off of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I think he recently just had a concert. Somebody sent me a video that somebody recorded of him on stage
singing that song.
Not only singing that song,
with the dance,
but he started singing the song he sings in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, in part two?
Yeah, when he comes out in the nightclub?
When he comes out in the nightclub?
Yeah.
That's
the one?
Yeah. No. It's a different song.
Yeah, it's a different song.
Shit. Yeah, and
this one, the Go Ninja Go.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, shit.
He was singing that on stage.
Yeah, that's dope. I would pay to see that, bro. Yeah, I'll pay to see that.
And he had, people dressed up as Ninja Turtles on stage.
No, somebody had recorded. I might have to look that up.
So, yeah, and like, that, like, as much crap as people give Vanilla Ice,
that's money.
Like, not only is it money, but like, he's embracing it. Yeah. You know, for the longest time, he didn't. You know, but like, when I see artists embrace their one hit wonder, it's like now it's like, not that they're in on the joke, but they're in on,
they own it.
Their accountability of it. You know, and
like, it's my shit.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and
but see that song alone immortalized him, bro.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
For you know, time to come, you'll always know who Vanilla Ice is.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and it's that to me is awesome, you know, and that's something that I strive to do in terms of my music. You know, it's like, it really is just that one song or that one hook or that one tempo, you know, that's what's going to catch people's attention. And I know we can achieve it because there's been times where we've played a show or we've done a practice and people have come to watch us, you know, friends or whatever. Yeah. And we'll be done practicing and like, we'll hear them hum the hook of a song or we'll hear them, you know, kind of like hum the guitar riff, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll tell Alex, you know, it's like, there, that's it. That's the hook right there. Cause he's singing it. It's been 2 hours since we played. He's still singing it, you know? So we're learning as we go along, even though we've been doing it for so long, but every time we pick up our instruments, there's something new to learn. There's something new to experiment on. Which is, you know, the greatest thing about music is that there really is no wrong way to do music.
Exactly.
You know, that you make mistakes, but you learn from those mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes create something new.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the biggest appeal to me and the rest of the band on music is there's no wrong way to do it. You know, it's not easy to pick up and it's not easy to keep a commitment to it.
Yeah.
But anybody can do it, you know, everybody can pick up some type of instrument, you know, and just bang away on something and they're creating something. Yeah. That to me is really like, that's the most beautiful thing because it's universal. There's no wrong way to communicate with someone when it's through music.
You need to be a motivational speaker, brother. I want to play an instrument. Shit. That's dope.
Paso un bajo.
Sí, güey, ahorita.
Bro, dude,
here you go.
That's all you need. we'll start a Norteña band right now.
Right?
Just go get shit. That's fucking dope, man. Looks like you got a pretty good support basis, man. I mean, my props to your wife because you're obviously, you got a winner, brother. You got a winner. She's got your back like that. That's good. Yeah. That's great, actually. You already succeeded, man.
Yeah, that's why it's
already not winning.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, it took, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, it took a long time for me to realize that because, yeah, there was a period in my life where I was like, I'm a failure. I didn't, you know, everybody thinks I'm a failure because everything I said I was going to do by the time I hit a certain age, I never did it, you know, and it took a lot of mental work and internal work on myself to realize just how good I have it, essentially. You know, it took a lot of therapy to just be like, hey, you know what? You're not a failure. You can't fail at something you enjoy doing and that you're still doing, you know? And that's the biggest take back I have of everything. You know, like you just said, I'm already winning.
Yeah.
I'm already winning because not only do I have financial stability to be able to do this, I'm still doing it.
Yes, sir.
We're still playing shows. There's still people out there that love our music, you know? And I got, like you said, a support system that actually enjoys watching me enjoy myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that is the biggest takeaway, you know, and it's great. It's amazing when your son tells you, you know, I want to learn how to play an instrument.
Oh, yeah.
Or when can I go to your practice? Mm-hmm. Or can I see you at the show?
That's, you know, badass.
That feels 10 times better than somebody telling me, oh, I'll sign you, you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, so because I know he means it, you know? And, hey, you know, and he's not looking for money from, well, you know, he is, but not in that way.
Just in the wallet.
He just wants the wallet for toys right now. But
so you touched a good topic on that you said about hitting that failure point. Because a lot of us that are trying to go, you know, we say we're upcoming artists, upcoming producer, upcoming, you know, singer or band member, is that it's a serious thing. Like, you set yourself a goal, especially when you're like at a young age, and at this certain time, I'm going to put this effort in this. and things don't really go the way you did. Now, this is going to sound a little bit more on the like being a dick side, but these choices happen because you do it. But let me go ahead and elaborate on this, though. One of the things about doing something in life or taking a career, you know, whatever career path you're taking, is that this is your career path. Yeah. This is your journey and this is your life. Nobody else's. Right. Everybody else's. If somebody gets something from it, it's because it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, you don't compare.
Compare. Now,
first mistake we make.
Now, the thing is about how you started, you know, the band and moving things forward is that kind of like what I told Ryan, I told you that we can't say that we're going to do it because we're already doing it.
Yep.
We are there. Yeah. We succeeded. Mm-hmm. We're already doing it. We started the podcast. We're doing the podcast. We're already doing it. And we're doing videography and photography. Guess what? We're already doing it. We're already at the thing is you get too entangled into the destination that you have never been in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you have never been in that destination, then why are you talking about, you know, you create that destination for where you're going. Now, all these years that pass by in life, it's because there's something in life that I do believe in, that it's a superpower, whatever. I don't care what anybody says, but like, this superpower is teaching you something in life.
Yeah.
Well, something to you in particular, right? So kind of like what you said right now, see, you're winning as you are already.
You already won.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not that bad that you already won. It's that you're winning. It's present tense. Yeah. It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's happening all at once. So you should be proud of that because the feelings that you're already experiencing is something that you are, how do you say, it's in your spiritual growth.
Yeah.
You're having spiritual growth in yourself. Not to get too like in spiritual stuff. But like getting yourself like
you should be a motivational speaker. Oh,
shit. Hey, working on it.
Hey, I don't know how I got this. It just came to my mind. I learned in my own words.
Let me tell you, man. This guy's pocas palabras, pero cuando habla. This guy right here is one of the wisest motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life, dude. Like, this guy's 20 years old and he's wise as hell, dude. Like, really wise. 20?
12.
28 years old.
Oh, 12. My man. He said 12.
20 years old and he's wise as hell, bro. I mean, my boy over here, también. This guy's brilliant, bro. Like, he's got shit coming. Fucking great idea. He's got great. Así como ves, cara de güey. Like, fucking little dummy. Nah, my boy right here, we're surrounding ourselves by so much fucking talent, bro, which is great, you know? Yeah. But and that's the people we're trying to reach out to.
But it's also not talent. Like, you know, you. It's yeah.
Commitment, bro.
It's the hunger discipline. To go get
point,
it.
What yeah. you made. But touching on that, it's not just about being around talented people. It's about being around supportive people as well, you know, because
exactly. Same frequencies.
And- yeah, exactly. You know, and but also they have to want you to be happy and succeed.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, they have to share that with you. I wouldn't be able to be in this band in particular had we not all been on the same page in terms of we all want to succeed, but we want to succeed together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the way, like, you know, it's going to get really corny right now.
But, no, hand that over.
You know, when we started the band as the four-piece, the one thing we did to kind of symbolize that we were all in this together was when we uploaded the first song through CD Baby, you know, you got to go through the whole process of, you know, who gets the credit, who gets the rights to this. Yeah. The one thing we all discussed before even starting that is there's four of us. It's 25% each. It doesn't matter who wrote the lyrics. It doesn't matter who wrote the song. It doesn't matter who did this. Right. Everybody gets a 25% because that eliminates the whole, well, I wrote the majority of the song. I should get the majority of the credit.
Right.
No, that's not how it works, because if it wasn't for the rest of the band, you wouldn't even be getting
that
credit. You know, you wouldn't be able to do this. So that was our way of symbolizing, you know, not only are we a band, but we're a family, you know, because we all are going to support each other. We're all going to be in it together, you know, and quite literally me and my cousin, we're really a family, you know, but at the same time, we've known each other as a band for so long, you know, my kids call them uncles, you know. And we all watch out for each other. You know, we have barbecues. We do things that isn't even band related sometimes, you know.
Because, it's family, man.
Yeah, because it's family. Yeah. You know, one day we'll be like, hey, let's barbecue, you know. And then we won't even jam out. We'll just have the family over, barbecue, and just, you know, just talk. Yeah, we'll talk about music and plan stuff, but
just hang out.
Just hang out, you know, because it's gotten to the point where the music is still there, but now it's also a whole different experience and situation.
Not everything is business.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of young bands make in terms of finding that group, you know, right. Because when we first started, we played with a lot of bands that were so talented. And like, I was just blown away by the talent these young kids had because they were younger than us, mm-hmm. you know? And we all like got together, you know, like some of these bands, they're no longer around, you know, because of their age, but also because when the real work started happening, because a lot of people don't talk about that when they're in a band, is that there comes a time in the band where it's no longer fun. I know, like now,
sure, we know that,
you know, I'm sure you guys do
everything,
you know, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, all of a sudden it's actual work,
yeah.
You know, and it sucks because at some point there's this pressure of, you know, hey, did you come up with a guitar riff for the drumming that I did? Oh, I haven't even touched it. So now it's like, are we going to argue about this or are we going to figure something out? Yeah. You know, and depending on the mood that you're in and that person's in can totally affect
the outcome.
What's going to happen next. Yeah. And like that happened with me and Alex one time, you know, we got into an argument because he didn't want to do something in a song and I did. And we went a whole week without speaking to each other.
The fuck?
But we still had to practice and jam out. So
I was like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Don't even look at me.
It literally was like, don't look at me.
Don't even look at me.
You know? And it's funny because one of the biggest things you always hear is like, you know, you have to form a band like you're forming a marriage.
Yeah.
You're married to these four guys.
Yes, sir.
You know? And
it sounds a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds familiar. I know.
Sounds a lot sexier than it is.
I mean, it's legal now, so technically it'd be okay. But yeah, dude, like he and I didn't speak for a week because we were both mad at each other. Like, oh my God, it really does sound like a marriage. We were both mad at each other for different reasons, you know? And
because we're just jamming out, looking mad at each other.
We're having that silent argument that all married couples have. But yeah.
Wait till we get home.
Yeah. We'll talk about this in the car. But that's what it was, you know? And yeah, but see, things like that make or break it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm pretty sure if it wasn't for the fact that he and I have known each other literally all our lives, and we know, like, he and I can have conversations while we're jamming out without even saying anything. Like, we both know what each other is thinking when it comes to a song.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Does that happen with your wife too?
Yeah, but there's a lot more bruising. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man, Alex is going to be in trouble.
Thanks, guys. You got me in trouble. I can't come out to play anymore.
Cut that out.
You're not welcome anymore.
Fix it in post. Fix it in post.
Like, cut that one out, bro. Well, they're not going to let me come over no more. No.
You know, but...
You guys are going to get me grounded.
I know, dude. I'm going to be grounded from the band now.
Dude. Your wife and Alex not talking to you, bro? That's his crib.
That's my worst fear right there, dude. The two people I love the most aren't talking to me. That's
like, I'm so lonely.
Just sit behind my drum set, just not even playing it.
You're like, tss,
tss. It doesn't even sound the same. Yeah. You're like, this dude, it sounds the
same. It doesn't even feel the same. But yeah, dude, awesome, you know, it's one of those things where it's like,
that's a good bond.
It is, you know, it really is, because not only does it keep it motivating, but it keeps it fun. You know, there are moments where he and I will create a song and we'll spend like 20 minutes on the song. And then the very next day we're like, do you remember what we did? No. Well, there goes that song.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
I learned my lesson on that. I just write shit down.
Hell yeah.
Well, see, the funny thing is like, we'll record stuff, you know, and we'll play it back. And it's one of those things where it's like you wake up the next morning after a drinking binge. And you're like, holy shit, you sound like crap there, you know? And it's like, yeah, let's not do that again, you know? And it's a lot of that, you know? Yeah. But, you know, one of the songs I want to point out is Sober, is
badass song.
That song was, that's when we looked at each other.
Yeah.
And just, we knew this is what we were, like, this is what we were doing. You know, this is the style. This is how we're going to go at it. Everything that this song represents is what the band is, you know? And Sober, I wrote, to get a little personal, I wrote it about my sister who was killed when she was 17.
Oh, shit.
And I was 19 at the time.
Sorry to hear that.
So it was many years of all this like emotional damage that I had and baggage.
Yeah.
Just holding it in.
Holding it in and not doing anything about it. You know, all I was doing
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. You know, it was.
You must be Latino.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it was all self-medication.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and not the good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I got older, you know, and, you know, Karina and I had talked, you know, and I realized this is me holding all this in is affecting my kids. It's affecting my wife. It's affecting my parents.
Yeah.
You know, because in the span of one night, my parents not only lost their daughter, but, you know, I lost a sister and I became an only child, you know, because it was only us two.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what shattered me the most is that I had spent the majority of my time with my sister because it was just us two. And even though there was a moment in time where, you know, sibling rivalry, you know, we just couldn't stand to be around each other. We got over that. You know, we got over that.
Teenager.
We became, exactly, you know, we became, you know, not best friends, but we became brother and sister.
Yeah.
You know, and then in the span of one night to have all of that swept out from under you.
That's harsh.
And then realize that now you're an only child and it's just you and your parents. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
That like shattered me for years, you know, and having to deal with all that, but not having an outlet the way I do now, because I was still doing music, but it wasn't something that I realized that could be therapeutic.
Well, let me ask you this, if you don't mind. I mean, what kind of issues do you feel that brought up besides, I mean, obviously you had some kind of PTSD, abandonment issues and all, right?
Yeah. You know, and,
fear of losing, you know, close to you. That's scary shit.
You know, and, you know, not to dive too much into it, but, I had to inform my parents.
Oh, dude.
Because they were out of town.
Fuck.
So just to give you a perspective of how emotionally deep this song is, Sober, there's a reason why it's called Sober.
Yeah. I don't want you to touch any, you know.
No. Yeah, like I can talk about it now.
Or anything,
like,
bro, but.
No, yeah, I can talk about it now because, you know, I've been through so much therapy. But
no, like, that bro. So
yeah, you know, but like, you know, my parents were out of town celebrating their birthday because they had the same birthday.
Oh, shit.
They were out of town for that when she passed away. So I got the call because this was back in, you know, this is way back when there were still house phones. So the house phone was going off the hook in the middle of the night. And I answered it and, you know, I had to go to the hospital, you know. And
how old were you again?
I was 19. And like, I had to tell my parents to come home. And just from the way I told my, like, I didn't tell my parents anything except you have to come home now. And they already knew, you know, it's like, I wouldn't be calling if it was something not serious. So I had to drag my parents out of their birthday celebration to come tell them what happened.
Yeah.
You know, so that right there was already traumatic enough. You know, my uncle and I had to go identify her.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah. So like all that stuff, dude, at 19, you know, and
yeah, dude,
not knowing how to, you know, this was back when mental health issues weren't talked about.
No, they were hitting.
You know,
they
were hitting. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was one of those like, oh, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you don't, they obviously, don't. You know, but, you know, I concentrated more on taking care of my parents, especially my dad, you know, because he lost his daughter. You know, it's like, now that I have a daughter, like, I understand
the gravity
of that, you know. For me, in the beginning, it was just he lost a child, but no, he lost his daughter, you know.
It's your world, man.
Yeah, dude. And so all of that went unchecked for so long, you know. And then finally, now where I'm at in life and taking mental health stuff serious, because I know it's still not talked about as much, but it's being brought out in the open. It's like, you really do have to check on that, you know. And it's really hard in the Mexican community about that, you know, because, you know, we don't talk about that.
¿Cuál depresión? You know?
Exactly. That's
no, estás triste.
Yeah, you're just sad. Yeah, you're just sad, you know.
That's one of the issues we always try to talk about here, dude. Not try to talk about. We don't hide it. It is what it is, bro. We all go through. We all gone through depression, anxiety, shit. You know, myself.
On a daily, bro.
Yeah, on a
daily.
And sometimes
daily struggle.
Yeah, sometimes it could be lack of resources. Sometimes it could be just the fact that you don't want to deal with it. But the fact of the matter, dude, is that you have to take that first step. You have to admit, you know what? There's something up, and I have to get that help. Look for that help.
You know,
and find a support system, bro. You know, like what you went through, bro? Fuck, I couldn't even imagine. Like, I thought I had it bad this last year and a half, you know. But no, dude. I mean, I took a ton of therapy, man. Mm-hmm. I'm still taking therapy, and because I believe that if it's done that much well for me in 1 year, hell, in a couple of years, I'll be solid, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because it was the same thing with me when I finally took the plunge to have therapy and speak to a therapist and a psychiatrist. You know, right off the bat, just the first year alone felt amazing, because I had that outlet, you know, that I didn't have before, you know. And not to say like my parents weren't there for me, but how do you help somebody when you're also going through the same thing?
Exactly.
You know, and it's like they come from an era where.
Yeah, suck it up.
That's it. Suck it up and move on. You know, it's like my dad does not speak about my sister anymore.
Because it hurts.
You know, he hasn't been to the cemetery since we buried her, you know, because he can't. It's
too painful.
You know, it's too painful. You know, my mom is the one that goes and does the whole decorations and everything. I barely started going, and, you know, because it's the same reason. It hurts. But
it does, bro.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't fault them for not knowing how to help me, you know. And now it's like the three of us are now making up for lost time.
Yeah.
You know, with each other. You know, now I feel like my parents and I have this amazing relationship where now we're not just, like, we're friends. I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, it makes total sense.
We're friends now.
You guys are closer.
Yeah, we're closer now. You know, because they went through therapy, you know, I went through therapy. Now we're kind of on the same page, you know, and it's an interesting experience, like, seeing your parents go through that. When, you know, they were taught not to. Like, it's so funny because earlier today, speaking of, you know, that type of stuff, I was texting with my mom today and I realized I was texting with my mom today. You know what I mean? Like, she was sending me, like, gifts and memes.
Okay.
You know? And, like, it hit me. I was like, my mom is texting me, you know, and we're having a conversation like we're friends.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a beautiful feeling. I'm not going to lie, because I had never experienced that before. You know, for the longest time, I've always seen them as the parental figures.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, you know? Bro, but you're at a stage in your life. You're a stage in your life where you can actually appreciate that, bro. And that's, in hell, dude, look at you, man. You've gotten to a point where your emotional and mental state have reached a level of peace, serenity, you know? And now you get to take advantage of that and share it with your parents.
Yeah.
You get to enjoy your parents now. You're looking through this world with more clear, you had a clearer view of what life is now, you know?
Yeah.
And not a lot of us have the opportunity, bro.
Yeah, you know? Because, and it's amazing, you know, because I tell this to people, when we get deep into conversations like this, the one thing I'm going to tell you guys, but every time I tell people this, what I'm about to tell you guys, they don't believe me. And it's that I didn't know what true happiness felt like until it was explained to me. And what I mean is something, I had an interaction with my daughter and I told Karina that I felt something weird, like right at my sternum, I got this weird, like warmth feeling.
Yeah.
Like it felt like, no joke. I literally said, I think I got heartburn. And she looked at me with like this look on her face, like she couldn't believe what I was saying. And she goes, "You're literally describing happiness."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What? No, I don't understand what you mean." She goes, "That warmth feeling you're feeling in your stomach is literally happiness because you're happy." And I started crying because I didn't realize
that's what I felt.
That's what happiness felt like after so many
years. Well, it's a weird fucking feeling. It's somebody who hasn't felt happy for a long time.
Yeah. You know, and it was like after that, I just like my whole perspective changed.
I'm going to tell you something, bro. I'm sure I told Chiggies this, but gone through some stuff. I'm not getting too much into that because I'm sure I've talked a little bit about it before, but that feeling right there you're talking about, dude, I got it back in August, right after my birthday.
That's awesome.
I got it home, dude.
What was his name?
Shout out to Steve. Dude, I was on my way to work. I got in the car, I got my way to work. I made it about 3 blocks and I shit you not, dude. I started to get that fucking like overwhelming feeling.
Yeah.
And I knew what it was. I mean, it didn't freaking caught me off guard. I just thought it felt good. Started to chuckle a little bit.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I did it on my 3 blocks away and I thought I was high, bro. I was just fucking laughing. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, life is good. You see a little bit of fucking hope in your life, dude. You're like,
yeah.
So the light at the end of the tunnel.
Fuck no, go the other way.
Yeah, not that light.
But it's cool, bro, because you feel hopeful. Like all of a sudden, dude, like, you know what? Doesn't matter what the fuck you're going through. It doesn't matter what life is. You found that peace, dude. And you appreciate it. Maybe appreciate things just a little more. Every hug, every time you see your buddies, every time you see your kids, you hug them a little tighter.
Yeah.
You enjoy them a little more. Every time you have a text with your mom.
Yeah.
Every time, shit, you talk to your wife, you kiss your wife goodnight. Like, man, bro, ever since then, dude, like, I see my mom, I see my dad, and I'll fucking hug them, bro. I'll hold them a little tighter. Yeah. And sometimes, dude, it's weird because last time, like, call me pinche, mom was like, whatever, but I saw my mom, bro, and I hugged her, and I gave her a kiss, and I didn't want to let her go, bro. No, and it tripped me out, but I felt so fucking good about that because I kept thinking, like, how many people have left our lives that they didn't have a chance to get, you know, to say goodbye to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's important, bro, that you embrace that, that we all do.
Oh, because dude.
Every hug, every kiss, every handshake, bro, every time, every word can be the last one we say to each other.
Yeah. And honestly, some of that comes just with age as well. Like, you know.
Wisdom, man.
It's.
What you look at me when you say those words?
The rumor's finished. Like, they're not anymore, bro. Like, let's not start that shit all over.
You know, it's true because it becomes something that you actually actively start thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, and like with me, after therapy and everything, and when I started to address all of my demons and I wrote sober, you know, I made the conscious decision to not let so many things affect me because through therapy, I learned that everything that I did, I was equating to my sister.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a warped sense of if I stop hurting, I'm going to forget about her. And that's not true. You know, I can still hurt about her, but my life doesn't revolve around that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because I had this mentality of the moment I let go of that pain, she's going to disappear. And it took me a long time to understand that that's not the process you want to go through because you cannot enjoy life because all you're thinking about is just all of that anger. You know, yeah, I still have anger about the situation, you know, because somebody took her from me.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, now I've accepted that I have anger. I've accepted that I'm sad. I've accepted that I lost somebody close to me. Now I can move on. You know, now I can appreciate what I have, which I thought I was, but I really wasn't. I was just accepting what I had, you know, and now
that's a tough distinction to make.
Yeah, yeah. It is, because I mean, you know, it could, you know, I bought a new car. I had to buy a new car, but
the one you rolled up in?
Yeah. Oh, but nice. I was using that as an example, but what I was going
to
say
you
was,
wanted to tell us about the new car. Yeah, go ahead, man. Go.
We'll take a tour. Come on. But
next,
like,
episode. Yeah,
but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I had to buy a new car because mine broke down, but I had the opportunity to get exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm completely grateful for that, because it's a luxury I could have, and I acknowledge it. But also, I'm humble about the fact that I have it. I'm very grateful I have. I can afford it, you know? I'm grateful that I can afford it. I'm grateful that I can keep it, you know? And that type of thinking was never a process for me, because it was like, well, I need to do it, you know? But now I can step back and be like, you know, you deserve it, but also you worked for it, you know? And that is a great feeling, because it opens you up. It makes you actually enjoy life, you know? You know, coming here to this podcast, it was just excitement for me.
There are certain things that us, you know, humans, spiritual beings, whatever, that we encounter, right? Like these emotions, these feelings. A lot of people, since they're not, see, the thing, like, I think it's where, like, parent, I'm not sure, maybe I'm wrong, but, like, parenthood comes into play, because, you know, obviously, right now, we're very dependent from by the system. I'm not going to try to get this, you know, off on a tangent or anything, but I just want to bring this up. It's like, a lot of people are not taught, or just don't know how to unleash themselves from those, you know, those pains, or don't know how to feel those pains.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, in order to, people don't realize that for happiness to happen, you have to be feeling the opposite. This balance. Like,
to have a contrast.
Remember I told you, Rick, like, in order to reach the ceiling of heaven, you have to be willing to lick the floors of hell.
So I remember the conversation.
I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that in the lyric now.
There you go.
copyright. Copyright. Cut notch.
Shit. Just invite us to the premiere, brother.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, by Adrian Gallegos.
Hold on. I got to make a phone call real quick.
Put this in the
Alex,
song, bro.
Write this down.
I got one.
I just heard the next one.
No, yeah. So, it's just these things that a lot of people have to be willing. You know what? They don't want to feel it. So, I have to escape from this. I have to stimulate myself with other things. So I want to go there. I have to rather go drinking. I'd rather take a shot of something. I'd rather have to get injected with something. I don't know, man. Man,
creatures of pleasure, brother.
Yeah, these feelings is something that I just don't ever want to fucking touch, because it's just horrible. It's so painful. It's the worst thing that can happen to me.
Yeah.
What can I do to not feel this? And you know what? Maybe this goes back to like the Latin community.
Yeah.
Where your parents or your family will tell you that they will try to, you know, lighten you up.
Yeah.
Oh, no te preocupes, you know, come over here. Para que te, you know, te distraigas. All this. Come have a beer. You know what I'm saying? Instead of actually coming to you and just, you know, go on your shoulder, you know, and just be like, look.
Yeah. Because it's uncomfortable, dude. Like, if you don't know what the fuck, if you're not used to it, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, if you're not brought up with that mentality, well, not just that mentality, but that environment. You know, it's foreign to you and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd rather hide it than...
It's easier.
So yeah, it is, you know, and yeah, I totally agree with
what you're saying. So what sucks about this, though, like for me, like too, like I don't get too personal too about it, but like a lot of things happen. Like when I grew up, you know, my dad was sometimes would, not to put like on blast or anything, you know, but he would say, oh, ustedes no sufrieron.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got so fucking like pissed. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, es que todo es tu vida, you know, money... I mean, nunca se te ha, you know, faltado. You have a roof, on, you know, over your head. But he's seeing it as a physical thing and not really more onto a mental or emotional thing.
Yeah. When I grew up, but it also sounds different. Like he's using it against you. You know,
right?
Yeah.
So there are these things that I don't know, because nobody taught me that foreign universe, you know, of a mental place to be in. Nobody taught me that. And my family, like, nadie sabe eso, like, that, at least that I know of.
Yeah.
So I had to learn that myself by actually drowning myself in tears and depression, because I have hit myself at that point in life. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have, where I'm not, you know,
No, bro. We saw you don't go too far. You don't have to go too far, bro. Go to a family gathering. Go to a family like birthday party and see it. How many people get drunk? How many dysfunctional adults we have in our own family, dude?
Yeah,
yeah.
That have to deal with shit that way.
And that's funny you say that, because you know there are certain families, and I'm not including mine, but I am. But you know, where it's like their way of showing you affection and love is by talking shit to you.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, and
you're looking at it.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Looking at it right here.
You know, and
love you, fucker.
I always tell people, if I'm talking shit to you, it's because I don't give a fuck about you.
But see, there's a difference in generations on that.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like older generations, like if they don't make you cry, they're not showing you the love.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, yeah, I can tell my, you know, my family, like, oh yeah, you know, fuck off or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have family members that legit will just straight up argue with you, and then like 10 minutes later, they're your best friend again.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way they are.
It's called
that's
flipping.
How they brought up. Yeah. You know, and it sucks. It's exhausting, you know, because you constantly have to have your wall up, because you can't let that get to you.
Yeah.
Because then you start a fight, and then now you're the asshole, you know? And it sucks, but that's the way most Mexican culture and families are, you know?
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to take the abuse, you know, and just fucking get tougher and shit. Yeah. I'm talking to you, motherfucker.
I'm talking to you.
No, but it really comes down to that, bro, because we do, it's that famosa carrilla, but there's a difference between carrilla
And
straight out fucking talking shit.
Straight out abuse.
You know? Yeah, straight out fucking like verbal abuse and shit. So, it's one of the reasons why a lot of like in the Latino community, bro, we're fucking like people hang into a marriage that is not for them, or relationships or friendships that are not for them, bro, you know?
Yeah. But they don't want to work on
years
it.
Of
exactly.
Yeah. You know?
So just to add on to that foreign territory that we were talking about.
Did you get your job back?
The plane landed.
I remember
now.
Aerolínea na. Es de... Ah, ya se fue otra vez.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. So look at like... Just to touch back into that foreign territory too, is that... See, a lot of people don't know that. And yes, you made a point on... Most of those people maybe just see things in a different perspective because how the environment they grew in and their generation separation, right? That's the separation of generations. You know, it's how what happened to you back in the day and the way it was you were treated back in the day is not the same thing, and it won't cut it in this generation.
No.
And that's one of the things, mistake I think my dad sometimes makes, because my dad is 73. Mm-hmm. I'm 27. There's a huge gap. I'm the youngest of 50. Nine.
Oh, wow.
50-year gap. Yeah.
This was the most leftover in the tank, bro. He was the last.
He was made from polvo.
That's why he loses his fucking hat so quickly.
He's one from the último chorrito que le quedaba.
El último. It's a pre-cum baby. It's a pre-cum baby.
Ahora sí, cabrones. I am.
We literally got you done talking about how toxic that is, and we're over here doing it to him.
We love you, man. We love you.
I'm going to go come with
you. Sí, pero es carrilla. Es carrilla. That's not burla, güey.
I'm Adam Warlock. shit. Anyways, back to my topic.
Leave me alone.
Go ahead, brother.
So these people don't know, right? So now this generation is getting bashed on a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, these people are just a bunch of sensitive pieces or whatever, not this shit, right? Because, well, whose fault is it? Who, what generation was the one that brought these people like that? But the thing is, that it's not even that either. It's society itself, right? Like,
not just,
how everybody was.
Well, let me touch on that quick, because one of the things I do have to admit is one of the reasons, not only do our parents or the Latino parents try to raise you, like, they're trying to raise you tougher. They did the best they could with what they had.
Yeah.
yeah. with what they knew.
Yeah.
Which but, sucks, but.
And I agree with that, you know, but at the same time, like, there's got to be a time where you have to break that cycle.
Exactly. And that's
you know,
on us.
And that's on us. And going back to what you were saying is that, you know, they think, you know, we're too sensitive now or we're you know, wusses or whatever. It's like, no, dude, it's like we're in touch with our emotions now. Like,
yeah.
we're not going to have the same mental trauma you guys have, you know, and it may look weak to them, but it actually makes, it's making normal. Us stronger. Well, it's a normal way of living. Yeah, yeah, it's like, shit, that's what you should be like, you know?
Yeah.
There was somebody posted something that like I didn't think about until they acknowledged it. And it's like, you know, it said like when you're at an age when you realize that nobody comes to Mexican parties anymore because everybody is now mentally stable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's what Mexican parties were. That was their therapy.
Yeah.
It's like to get shit faced drunk and not remember anything the next day.
Yeah.
That's why half of them are crying. By the end of the night. That's when the real emotions come out.
Exactly.
You know?
That fucking makes so much sense, bro.
That song has traumatized a generation of Mexicans.
Yeah.
You know?
You're crying.
Okay, but to bring things back into that emotional perspective it's great that we're getting more in touch with our emotions. Maybe we would have, you know, but the thing is that it's the controlling part that there's a lot of issues in, because a lot of humans in this society can't really try to act on your emotions because things don't go very, really well. You have to be able to check yourself. There has to be a balance between your logic, you know, your right brain, your left brain. When is the right time?
The Mexican's coming out. Yeah. You started singing the song, and all of a sudden,
when is the right time? Yeah, when is the right time to actually be able to, you know, act on that, or should I act on it, or should I think about it properly?
It doesn't come with instructions.
Because it doesn't. It's one of the things that obviously
they make up on the way, bro.
It's one of the things that you do learn as you go,
hit or miss.
But it's one of the things that you have to be trained yourself, or you know, get into like being self-aware, mm-hmm. subconscious about things that are going on.
I agree with you to a point, because the other thing about that is we have this newer generation that is becoming more mentally stable, and they.
They're more emotionally aware, I've noticed.
Yes, but here's the thing. This is going to make me sound really bad, but I don't care. None of them have gotten smacked around.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to what you were saying, is that they have to check themselves.
Before they wreck themselves.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody there to check them.
But there was nobody there to check them.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know, I'm pretty sure all of us have gotten our asses kicked because we've been bad, you know? Yeah. Exactly.
Got some scars, dude.
Yeah.
I got the pin down.
Yeah, dude.
Back one.
So, but the thing is that like, that's part of the Mexican community. Like,
dude, my son literally went like, pop with a fucking belt. I got fucking like chills. Dude.
Ooh.
That's how bad is it at all, bro. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to think anybody think I got beaten like crazy shit, but I did get the belt.
Yeah.
El piteado, bro. Viva Mexico on the fucking belt. Like,
oh, dude. No, yeah. But like, you know what I mean? That, that it was a learning tool for our parents. Mm-hmm. But some of us, and obviously in this room, we were also told why we got beat.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you don't get that now. Like, now everyone associates that with abuse. Yeah. It's like, it's not abuse if you teach it the right way. And a lot of people don't like to admit that, mm-hmm. you know? But then look at the way things are now, you know, where kids are just lashing out because... Yeah, they're emotionally more aware, but
there's no
they're more anger and there's no consequence. Yeah. You know, and that to me has always
been the coddling.
A thing. Yeah, the coddling. Yeah. You know, but like my kids, I've never hit my kids ever since they were born.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're really well behaved. Why? Because I talk to them. Yeah. You know, I don't ask them.
Yeah, I'm going to whoop you.
They get threatened.
You got one in the bank.
It's up to you
when you want to catch up.
Two and three quarters.
Yeah. It's none of that crap. You know, like literally I've told my kids, you know, it's like, you're either going to go to your bed or you're going to get knocked out. You know? I'm not going to knock them out, but they know I'm serious.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's like, it's not that you have to beat your kids, but
they gotta respect.
Freaking talk to them. You know, it's like if you show them respect, and that's the one thing that a lot of people don't like to admit either.
So that brings it to pain versus euphoria. So like, well, what is good and what is bad? It comes to the scale. And the society, is it leaning towards one side where, because like you said, you know, that's true. Not a lot of kids these days are getting whipped now. The kids are just being, because I don't whip my kids, right? I don't beat my kids like that.
Yeah.
I don't do that. That kind of leans onto this side. So does that mean that those kids are never going to experience negative things? Not necessarily saying pain, like physical pain, but some type of pain level that out.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. So, again, therapy, bro. But the experiences that you have, the level of pain, the level of discomfort that you've experienced is your top. Like, that's as far as you go before you fucking break. The more emotional stress you've had, the more resistant you are to certain things. Now, I told my kids one time, well, you don't know what tough is. Mm-hmm. And I just talked to my therapist about this shit. And it was a pretty good point because I shout out to Mahasti. Now, she made a pretty good point. And, I came to a conclusion, but she told me a bunch of stuff. And I came to this conclusion that compare the level of trauma, because I've been through some shit myself, but I mean, you can't compare the level of trauma or hurt that I've gone through to where they're at.
Right.
Yeah.
Because to them, this is bad. This is bad as it gets. To me, shit, that ain't nothing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I had gotten it worse.
Yeah.
You can't compare it to them. So once I realized that shit, I stopped. It's like, okay, now when they're saying, you know what, well, I'm having to, you know, I feel bad because of this and this. Okay. You know what? I understand that you're going through that. But you need to know that everything's going to be all right. Things are going to work out.
Yeah.
Like, there's no really...
And that's a great way because the way you were describing it, where it's like you're comparing, all it does is create resentment between the both of you. Because now you're mad that they don't understand what you went through, and they're mad because they don't understand what you went through.
Yeah.
You know? And I do the exact same thing with my son.
That's good.
What you just said. You know, because my son is what they're calling iPad kids.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, he...
Raised by the internet.
Yeah, you know, but also raised that way because of COVID.
Yeah.
You know, he spent a year and a half
homeschool
doing distance learning. Yeah. So it's become like a part of his life. And yeah, he plays games with his friends on there and he'll lose or something will happen and he gets upset, you know, and because he's 9, he doesn't know how to, you know, address his emotions. Right. So he like lashes out, you know. And yeah, I do the exact same thing. I tell him, he's like, hey, buddy, I know you lost the match, but there's no reason for you to be swinging your fists around like that.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll tell me, he's like, I'm just so mad. I was like, I get it. You can be mad. There's nothing wrong with being mad.
Just watch it with the iPad.
Just that's an expensive iPad. It's not throw that across the room.
It was $2.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It's something that us as new parents have to learn because you have to take some things you learned from your parents, but at the same time, you also have to be honest enough with yourself to realize that some of the things they did were not great. And it's hard. And sometimes it's hard to admit that because they're your parents, you know, you love them, but
you don't hold any resentment either. That's the thing.
Yeah. You know, and that's the one thing that we've tried with the kids is we want them to be honest with us. We want them to feel like they can come to us with
that.
Be honest with themselves.
That bond, that relationship with Chris.
Yeah, you know, and I see it now a lot with my daughter. You know, she's 15. And she and I will have conversations. And I feel like these conversations would not have happened had we not been like those type of parents where we sat her down and told her, hey, like, you are more than welcome to let us know how you feel in a respectful manner, you know, but the moment you step out of line, we have to discipline you as parents. Like, we're your friends, but we're your parents first.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, always. And
they set that boundaries.
Yeah. You know, and the boundaries is a big thing that isn't brought up in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you see the kids lashing out at their parents and their parents are doing that soft parenting.
Right.
Yeah.
Crap that I hear about.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't negotiate with the 5-year-old.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, it's like you have to set boundaries, you know, and it's funny how I see that all the time, you know, and it makes me laugh because, you know, I'm not pointing to one race of people, but they're slightly lighter colored than us, you know, but like,
hey,
not so cool, brown, man. Not so cool, brown,
you know,
damn Spaniards,
you know, come on, get brown,
but you know, and it's those types of parents that are the loudest.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, and that's the one thing I've always like admired about my dad and my mom is that, yeah, they would get physical when it would have to when I was younger, but they also taught me to vocalize.
Yeah.
You know,
stop.
Yeah.
No more. Yeah.
By vocalizer, I mean, please stop. No more.
Que grites con ganas.
Te voy a dar algo de llorar.
Oh, quieres llorar? Oh, que quieres llorar?
Yeah, well, yeah, I got chills. You know?
I'm like, about to call. I'm about to make sure my mom's not in the front.
You know, but that's all it is you just gotta talk to, you know, and nobody wants to admit it. You got to talk to them with respect,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can't control them, you know. I always bring up a conversation I had with my wife about my daughter because we had her in private school in the beginning. And it was a Catholic private school. Nice. Because we're Mexican. Yeah. And at one point she was, she signed up to be one of the altar kids.
Yeah.
For the mass on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And she did it and then she didn't want to do it anymore. You know, and we had to make a decision of whether we were going to force her to do it because she signed up for it or take her out of it. Because at the same time, it's like, you know, it's mass. You can't mess around with mass,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're at God's watching.
Yeah, God's watching. We're in God's house. So I told Karina, well, ask her what she wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, so Karina tells her, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue or do you want to stop? And she goes, I want to stop. I don't want to do it anymore. And Karina got mad at her. And then Karina tells me, well, she's going to keep doing it. I was like, well, then why did you ask her? And I was like, you can't get mad at her for answering you honestly to a question you had to ask. You know,
I just went through that shit. Go ahead, man.
No, yeah, you know, and it was a new situation for us because, like, slowly we started to realize, oh yeah, she's a human being with her own thoughts.
Yeah, she has her own.
You know,
thoughts.
And we can't force our. I mean, we can force our thoughts to a certain extent to make sure she's living a good life. Yeah. But you know, she's got to learn.
Yeah.
You know. Pros and cons and consequences.
It's because when you ask questions like that, you kind of expect your son to or your daughter to make the right choice and to be like, okay, like,
yeah,
tried. You expect them to give you the response you want to hear, but in reality, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. One of them, I'm telling you, we just went through that, and I thought I was wrong. I mean, I thought my kid was wrong.
Mm.
And again, man, it just my problem was that I was expecting a certain answer.
Yeah.
When in reality, dude, teenagers. They making up their own minds, bro. So don't expect them to do the right thing all the time.
Well, just know too that the definition of right choice to you is probably different.
It's right for them, you know.
Yeah.
But the problem was is that you can't ask a teenager a question and expect them to give you the answer. You know, expect to have a certain answer, like give you the answer you want.
Yeah.
So if it is what it is, man, you're gonna have to like you deal with it as you go. But that I just want to point that out, man. I mean, that's one of the things that pissed me off because I asked a question.
Yeah.
Expecting for my kid to give the right answer. But in reality, he gave me his honest answer, even though I didn't like it. It was his answer. It's how he felt. And that respected. It really was nothing of any major consequence. It was just, the issue was that I realized that it was my expectation that got me pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah.
That was it. But, hey, man, they're teenagers. What are you going to do? I don't lose my shit anymore, dude. I don't, like, I used to... Like, you know, typical dad, no, kid, you got to do this. You got to do that. No, no, no. I was like, I don't yell, dude. I don't yell. I just tell my kids, like, hey, we need to get this done. And it was a lot of practice, you know, to first to get to where we're at right now. As a matter of fact, like, today they killed it, man. Just cleaning up the place. And We all cleaned up. We all got together. We cleaned up and showed them, you know what? If we all get together and do this together, yeah. we're done an hour and a half. Yeah. If you do it alone, take you 2-3 hours. I mean, let's just all knock it out together. Yeah. Sure shit. You know, we got all, we worked together and it was great. Everybody's happy, smiling. We're good.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it was more like, hey, dude, did you wash the dishes? Oh, I need you to wash the dishes. Oh, yeah. As soon as the show's over. Okay. No problem. I go and I just take the controller away, turn off the TV. He's like, oh, no. He's like, no, he didn't say that shit. He's like, no, give me, I'll do it in a little bit. I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. No problem. I got the control, turn off the TV. And it's like, what happened? When a little while happens, once you're ready and the dishes are washed, the control's right there. They take whenever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, but dad is like, hey, dude, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, I think it's fair enough that if you're not ready to wash the dishes, you're not ready to wash the TV.
Yeah.
Man, sure as hell, man. He got up, did what he did, like, washed the dishes, went back to watching TV. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, once, as Latinos, dude, when we start communicating with each other, the moment somebody starts yelling, we lose each other.
Yeah.
You just lost that person. Like, you forget about communicating or with anybody like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a trip you mentioned. Café con leche y piquete. De antemano, si eres alguien fácilmente ofendido, cámbiale ya. ¿Ya? Órale. Por favor, banda, no se les olvide seguirnos en Instagram, Facebook, TikTok y también en sus plataformas de podcast preferidas, donde seguiremos subiendo nuevo contenido para alegrarles el día o quizás causarles alguna crisis existencial. Y nuevamente, recuerden que no somos ni fuimos patrocinados en ningún momento por ninguna marca registrada previamente mencionada durante el show. También, cabe mencionar que no somos, semos, ni fuimos profesionales o expertos en absoluto. Todo lo que se comenta, canta, cuenta y chismea en este show es con el único propósito de entretenerte y hacerte reír solamente. Aparte de un pollo, ningún otro animal fue lastimado física, emocional o mentalmente durante esta grabación. Finalmente, para ti, el del saco, el que no se fue. Si en algún momento te llegamos a ofender, sinceramente discúlpanos, no fue nuestra intención. Ahora sí, acústanos con tu mamita. Che puñetas.